Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online service. Our theme for this year is Plus One, which encourages us to invite someone to join us in worship and fellowship. Our mission statement is simple. It's loving God, loving people, and loving life. We hope that this message will serve as a source of inspiration and encouragement for you. Each episode, we will explore different aspects of our faith, share stories of hope and healing, and discuss ways we can make a positive impact in our community and the world. So whether you're a longtime member of our church or just tuning in for the first time, we welcome you to join us on this journey. Let's make 2023 a year of growth, both for ourselves and for those around us. Thanks for listening. Here we go.
Amen. We need to be clothed in all that He is. We need to allow Him to be at the very forefront of everything. Here lately, I've been teaching a lot about faith, and that's really what's been stirring in my heart for this day today. See all these notes I have up here. Don't be scared, okay? I didn't know exactly where I was going to go this morning, so I've got a lot of places I can go. Hallelujah. So keep options, right? Options. Hallelujah. So when I was praying about what to share here today, I felt the Holy Spirit say, turning the tide. You know, we think, you think of oceans, that's where the tide is, right? Turning the tide. And really the whole concept, the definition of turning the tide means changing things. Hallelujah. We all run into times of our life where we need things to change. Yes? Because you know what? Change is the essence of growth. If there's no change in our life, then we're just stuck in the mud somewhere. We've got to have change. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I like the idea of drastic changes. I don't know, I'm kind of that guy, to where, I like things, I like change, I like, I had a beard yesterday, now I don't, I like change, okay? I like to do things, change it up. Dramatic change. This concept of turning the tide, you could say the reversal of circumstances. Hallelujah. Did you know that we can command circumstances to change? Amen. With our words, the Word of God. I love the thought. I don't know if you've ever had this thought, but I've had this thought. That we're in a fight. We're in a fight. The moment that you said yes to Jesus, you entered the ring. The enemy's right there. We wake up every day and we choose to fight every day. We choose to be a fighter. Amen. And it dawned on me one day that, somebody's going down in this fight. Somebody's going to be hitting the mat. Somebody's going to be laid out. Isn't that the way it normally happens in a fight? Somebody's a winner. Somebody's a loser. And you know what? I decided, hey, I want to be the one standing. Amen. I want to be the one that walks out of the ring and is deemed the winner. Hallelujah. And so a lot of times, what does that mean? That means, like in David and Goliath, David was a little guy. Goliath, big guy. You think the fight is fixed, huh? It was fixed, but not the way that most people thought, huh? They thought, man, this boy's going down. This boy, just like Goliath said, I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds of the air today. And don't you know that the reversal of circumstances, some of you might be facing circumstances in your body, in your finances, whatever. Different things in your surroundings. I'm here to say today that you can reverse those circumstances, amen, when you decide that you're going to be strong in God. Hallelujah. I want his strength to be seen in me. I want to be a person, hallelujah, that is manifesting the word of God in my life. Glory to God. I want to be a person that is manifesting the word of God. And that, you know what that is? That's walking by faith. That's walking by faith. The Bible says that we're to walk by faith. You know, I wrote this down right here. It says there's more to life than what meets the eye. We've heard that, right? Maybe you've said that before. You know what? There's not a truer statement, I don't think. There's more to life. Sometimes we think, is this all there is, huh? We think sometimes, man, life has really gave me I've been dealt the wrong hand. I've been this or been that. You know, I've got things coming at me. I run into it a lot. Huh? People discouraged, just down, man, because of what? Because of circumstances of life. They thought one thing. You know, I've ran into that. I have had thoughts about things, and it doesn't play out like I thought sometimes, huh? Things are going the other way, and I'm like, hey, I thought I got a ticket for the northbound train, and I feel myself going southbound. I need a reversal of circumstances. We all do at times, right? Things are going one way, and we need to get it turned around and go the other way. Well, I'm here to say this morning that there's more to life than what meets the eye, so we've got to look at the unseen. We've got to look and keep our eyes on the unseen. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, that verse says that we are to examine ourselves whether we're in the faith or not. See, that's gonna dictate to us, amen. That's gonna show us, hallelujah. That's gonna show us if we're looking at the things that are unseen or the things that are seen, amen. Hallelujah. Let me get you the right verse here. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Told you I had a lot of different scriptures here. Hallelujah. Let me just sort some things through here. Hallelujah. So we want to, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says that we look at things. Let's just turn, if you have your Bibles, it's good to have your Bible, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. I'm sorry if I feel a little bit going in a lot of different directions here. I'm a preacher that I kind of normally preach about an hour. I hear my wife laughing. And when Pastor Tony says you got 35 minutes, that's why I'm trying to put all. You kind of feel where I'm at, okay? I want to be respectful of your time, but I got a lot of things, and I'm just saying, Lord, where do we go? How do we get all this packaged? And so you can walk out of here encouraged today. Okay, I'm gonna do that. I got one person that says I can say what I want to say. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. You know, there's a scripture in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 that says that what manner of people are we to be? And the Lord told me, I was meditating in that one day, and I felt the Lord say to me that the person that we ought to be is one that has an eternal mindset. We think of everything we see, we look through it with an eternal lens. Amen. eternity, not temporary things. And when we look at things through an eternal lens, guess what? We're focusing more on the unseen than the seen. Hallelujah. I tell you what, it's the things that are not seen that will not fade, that are not going away. The Bible says that everything we see is temporary. Everything that you see with these eyes is going to be gone. It's going away. It's going to be just like this verse right here says, everything that is seen is temporal, temporary. I like what I heard somebody say is it's time stamped. Everything is time stamped. Everything's got an expiration. Amen. But when we focus on the eternal, when we sow our lives into the eternal, when we keep our eyes on the unseen, what is that? That's the Word of God. It's like Abraham. He said he called those things that be not. The things that be not are the unseen. He was childless. His wife was old. He was old. They were past the childbearing age, but God said, you're going to be a father of many nations. That was the unseen. And when he got his eyes on the unseen, guess what? The unseen became seen. You see, it's the unseen things of our life that are all... You are sitting right now in a lot of unseen things that God wants to bring forth in your life. You know, that's what happened to me. That's what started my whole life in God. Is I was like so caught up in the scene. You know, that's what you call it, right? The scene. Hey, it's the scene. I got to be with the scene, man. I want to hang with the scene. I want to, that's where it's at. Maybe that's old terminology. Okay. I'm an old guy, okay? I'm 60 years old, you know. But when I was back in the day, hey, you had to go where the scene was, you know. That's where it was happening. Well, that was what was seen. And, you know, the reason I was doing life is because people were saying, hey, that's what you ought to do. This is where it's at. This is where your best fit. But God had different ideas, thank God. Amen. God had a different story. Amen. He wants to start something in your life that will totally bring change, totally bring amazing things, and it's all in the unseen. Huh? I would go to say, I feel in my heart right now, there's a lot of us sitting here today that God is saying, I have more for you. But you're focused on what you can see, and not on what you can't see. I really believe that. I believe that there's things that God wants to bring you into that you can't see right now. That's the amazing thing about God. You know what? I've said this a lot of times in my life, that you know what? Dan Rayner doesn't surprise me. I've lived with him long enough. Okay? I know what he thinks. I know what he likes. I pretty much know. If I just went by him, I know what to expect. But you know what? When I trust God, when I get up and I say, God, I'm here to seek you. I'm here for you, God. It changes everything, right? It changes everything. Now I'm not living for what I see. I'm living for, I know there's something that's going to happen. I just know there's something on the edge. I'm on the edge of something, and something is out there. I don't know what it is, but I know it's like that Carmen song. That's the old one. I saw the video. You know, he's stepping out on something, but he can't see it, but he knows there's something there. It's the unseen. God has something unseen for every one of us. We've got to get to the place where we totally abandon what we see. And that's why I brought up 2 Corinthians 13:5, that we need to examine ourselves or prove whether we're in the faith or not. I want to say something here. Let's just turn over there. We're right there in 2 Corinthians. Just turn back a page if you have a book that has pages. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. Hallelujah. Says, not that I am sufficient in of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. See, that's what I'm saying. If we just live life, hey, I got this. I got it. You know what? You're not going to go very far. I'm just saying. You're living a very limited life. You have this much, you have this much supply, this much knowledge, this much information. You're not going to make it. That's why people get so frustrated in life, because they only operate in what they know. God wants us to break out. He said, I got more for you. I've got things that you don't even have a clue about, but he wants to clue us in. Huh? Praise God. He wants to clue us in. So it goes on to say, who has also made us able ministers of the New Testament, of a better spirit. Hallelujah. But of the spirit, and that letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. Hallelujah. That was 3. I meant to be in 13. See there? Chapter 13, 2 Corinthians. That was a good verse. I do that quite often. And I think it must be the Lord saying, you need to read this verse before you go to that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether you're in the faith. Prove your own selves. Now, he doesn't say examine yourselves if you got, you know, based upon your own self. But you know what? I want to key in on this, though, that he says, examine yourselves whether you're in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know that ye are, know that you are not yourselves. How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. He says, prove your own selves. A lot of times, I the Lord showed this to me. He says, you know what? So many people are about proving the word, saying, well, the word don't work. Well, the word this, the word that. When we ought to be doing what the Bible says and proving our own selves, whether we're in the faith or not, examining our own life. A lot of people want to examine God and put God on trial. Well, is the word really work? Does this really work? Is this working for me? Instead of proving our own selves, whether we're standing on it properly, whether we're confessing the word on a daily basis, in the word, praying and doing all that we need to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the word of God has already been proved. There's no need in proving the word. The word of God's already done, been proved. So we got to see that our lives are the ones that need to be proved and put on trial. Amen. It says whether if we don't do these things, we'll end up reprobate, which means unfit, with no standing, not standing the test, not approved or unapproved. You know, in these days that we're living in, there's no... no other time that we've lived that we need the word of God more in our life today than ever before, because of all the craziness. Amen. Is it crazy or is it crazy? It's crazy. So we're in the world, but we're not of it. What does that mean? That we're not crazy. God doesn't want us to adapt to the craziness. Luke chapter 21, verse 26 says, men's heart will fail them because of fear. If man's heart fails them, then they fail. The devil wants us to be so discouraged and so just find yourself a cave and hide out till it's all over. No, that's not the will of God. We need to We need to go with God. This word falling or failing, our hearts failing them, this word failing means to grow cold, to cool down. I'll tell you what, instead of cooling down, we need to heat up. We need to turn the heat up. We need to get the Spirit of God moving in our life. Hallelujah. We need to be people that are running. We need to be running daily. Amen. Not just sitting back and waiting for something to happen. Come on. So many times, you know, we kind of get in ruts, you know, and we just kind of get in the, what do you call it, the mully grubs, you know. Have you ever been in the mully grubs? And we need to be running. We need to be hard after God. We need to be running hard after Him. I think of David, King David. He says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. I mean, you can't get encouraged watching the news, I'm telling you. You can't get encouraged watching so much that's on social media. If you want to be encouraged, and that's what I'm here to say today, we need to be encouraged in the Lord. You know, and I'm not saying, He's not going to tell you and puff you up in some smoke screen, get you all feeling good and then let you down. His encouragement is backed by the Word of God, and that's good backing. That's stuff that's been proven. You know, I used to play softball, and I always liked grabbing me some Biddle honey before the game. And I would chew on that Biddle. I mean, it gave me some energy. There's things that you can grab onto to energize you, to give you energy, to kind of give you a boost. You know, I won't ask how many people in here drink energy drinks and monster drinks and all that stuff. I'm telling you what, you want a boost, you get in the Word of God. You start praying. You start decreeing the Word of God. You start worshiping God, thanking God every morning, every breath you breathe. I'll tell you what, you won't need a monster. You got the Holy Ghost. You got the King of Kings on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Anybody listening to me, huh? I'll tell you what, we need to be stirred. You know, and that was another thing the Holy Spirit said to me. He says, you need to be stirred and not shaken. There is shaking going on. Huh? People can either be shaken or they're stirred. We need people that are stirred. And how are we stirred? I want to look at a verse over in Isaiah chapter 64. Hallelujah. If we're not stirring ourselves in the Lord, if we're not stirring up the deposit of God in our heart, then we're targets to be shaken. Huh? We're targets to be shaken out. You know, you ever seen them? Well, back in my days, you know, we had a program called Mutual of Omaha, the Wild Kingdom. And, me too. We'll watch it, you know, every Sunday night, you know, right before Disney, you know, Disney show. And that was back when they had good stuff. But anyhow, that Mutual of Omaha, that Wild Kingdom, man, it seemed like they always played, you know, the lion taking down the antelope or something, predators and, you know, and you know, the lion always, he's not going to go for the one strong and up in the front leading the pack. They nail the stragglers. That should open our eyes, huh? Are you listening to me? That should be a wake-up call for us. That should tell us, you know, hey, I don't want to be a straggler. I don't want to be just, hey, I'll come up on the backside here. I got the back, I got the train. No, you're going to be the one that has the target on your back. You wonder why the devil's always hitting you, always messing with your life. You may be a little straggling. You might want to step up the game. Amen. You may want to strengthen yourself in the Lord and get running a little bit faster. Amen. Hit the gym. Hit God's gym. Amen. Start getting in the Word more. Start praying more. Start saying, God, I trust you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Start stirring yourself up. There's a mass deposit on the inside of most of us that needs to be stirred up. Hallelujah. And what happens when you stir it up, man? It becomes alive. You know, some things, you know what, when you have two different things interacting with one another, you know, if things separate, it's kind of like blah. Well, you get stirred up, get things stirred up, man, you start getting some energy and everything. Isaiah 64 verse 7 says, "And there is some that calleth upon my name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee." Hallelujah. We need to be stirring up ourselves to take hold of God. Hallelujah. "For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities." I tell you, God will leave you to your own ways. If that's what you want, God is a God that, you know what, if you're bent on doing your own thing, then hey, there you go. Hope that works out for you, which we know it won't. Huh? Just saying, sometimes we just got to realize, and he says here, I really think this is important, that we begin to stir ourselves up and take hold of God. Hallelujah. Stirred up. Hallelujah. I heard a preacher just last night. They said that we need to be stirred to tears. That'll tell you that you've really hit something. When you touch the depths of you, when the very depths of you are stirred, I think we need to move away from all this surfacey stuff. We need to go deep. We need to get deeper in God. We need to get down. God, I remember one time several years ago, we were in a service and I felt the Lord said, I want to touch areas of your life that I've never been to. You know, there's areas in your life that you have never allowed God to touch. You've never allowed him to go that deep because you've just kind of been a surfacely relationship with him. Huh? You know what I'm saying? You know what it is. You know, you have different types of relationships in your life, right? You know, you shake hands with somebody, you wave at others, you just walk by other people. There's different levels of relationship. And so many times I think we do this to God. Hey, how you doing? We need to allow him. He wants to touch the very depths of me. Like Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. I would say Jeremiah said, God, I want you to go deep. Went into the very depths of his bones. Man, God was so infused in Jeremiah. Come on. We've got to say, Lord, go deep in me. Now, the reason that we're saying all of this, to be stirred, you know, Paul told Timothy to stir up yourself, stir up the gift of God within you, Timothy. Amen. Get stirred up, Timothy. Because we're entering days, these days that we're living, there's a lot of opposition, and a lot of people are being tempted to pull away, to be drawn away. You know, that's really the devil doesn't really want to necessarily pull you and take you completely out. He wants to delude you to the fact that you'll begin to delude others. So, you know what? It don't take all that. You don't need to do all that. How many times you go to church a week? Well, you don't need to do that. You just hit a little bit. You don't need to be in the Word all the time. I'll tell you what, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a capital L lie. We need more than what we think, and we always need more than what we think. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need more. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 4:1 says that there will be those that will depart from the faith. This means that there will be a spacing. They'll begin to, you know, it's like if you ever had somebody, this morning, me and my wife, we drove separate this morning to church. Not because we don't love each other, but she has to go one way and I have to go another after church today. But have you ever had somebody follow you and they're like, you're like, come on, get a little closer. Can you follow a little bit closer? I mean, you're slowing down. They get caught by a light. And see, that's what this is saying, that you begin to depart. You begin to put space between you and God. You see, people that go, wow, God feels like he's 100 miles away. I feel so distant. I don't know his touch. He's in the same place he was. We are the ones that put that space, that void, distance, a withdrawing, a separation, a deserting. But we need to stay close. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, Proverbs 4, 18 says, the path of the just is as a shining light that gets brighter and brighter until the perfect day. I'll tell you what, we need to be, that needs to be our life, right? What is that? That's that we're in the Word. We're, you know, to get brighter and brighter means that we're getting closer and closer to the light. Amen. Not distancing ourselves where we're in the shadows, that we're in the slipping into darkness, because the very next verse, verse 19, talks about the wicked are in darkness. But the righteous need to be getting brighter and brighter. What does that mean? Then they're running to the light. They're dwelling in the light. They're going after the light. Amen? Hallelujah. They're going after the light. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, says, Paul says, I have kept the faith. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible talks about there are some that their faith will be overthrown. I'll tell you what, I don't want to have such a small amount of faith, small trust. I'm in the shadows. I can barely make out the kingdom. I can barely make out what Jesus looks like. Because we got our eyes on the wrong thing. I want to see Jesus in his brilliance. I want to see Jesus like John saw Jesus. His head and hair were white, shining like the sun. I remember one time I was listening to that on tape on a CD in my truck, and I pushed replay about 10 times. I'm like, oh my goodness, I want to see Jesus like that. You see, what does that do? The just, the path, the walk, the way of life for the just is like a shining light. It gets brighter and brighter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The reference of some people's faith will become overthrown in these days. 2 Timothy 2:14-18. Jesus prayed for Peter. Luke chapter 22, verse 31, he says, I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Jesus is ever interceding for us today. I think he's kind of praying those same prayers over you and me. Hallelujah, that our faith would not fail. Hallelujah, let's stay connected. Amen. Let's stay getting closer. Let's be running with everything inside of us. Amen. Paul said this in 1 Timothy 6:11, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Lay hold on it. I mean, that means you're right there. You're it's in reach. Amen. So many times you say, we need faith, and you go, where's it at? I feel disconnected from faith. You know, I remember this. I remember back in the late 80s or beginning of the 90s. I had a dream one time. I won't go into all the dream, but I remember the circumstances of the dream really impressed me that the just shall live by faith. And the Lord said, there's coming a day where you're not going to be able to live any other way, my friend. And I couldn't, you know, back then you couldn't even imagine that. But the more we get down closer to the end here, I'll tell you, if you're really going to live and live well, it's going to take the Word of God. If you're going to have health in your body, it's going to take the Word of God. I'm just telling you right now. You can take all the vitamins you want, and vitamins, I take vitamins, but that ain't enough. I need the Word of God. I've got to declare the Word of God. I've got to be a man of faith. I got to fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Lay hold on it. I want to end by saying this. And I I'm putting all this away. Hallelujah. I want to end by saying this. I want this to really sink into us. I want this to sink in. Remember, I came today with an assignment to encourage us. I pray you're encouraged. That God has great things for you. God has great things for me. But it's not automatic. We think that once you get born again, man, I'm there, man. I'm in. No, it's just started. It's just started. You know, it's like any job you get. You get hired in, man. It's just started. You've got to buckle down and get with the program, huh? Hallelujah. It's up to you. It's up to you guys. It's up to me. You know, when I turned 50 a while back, and what happened was when my first granddaughter was born, I realized I want to be around for a while. And then I realized it's going to take the Word of God. Huh? Because there's so much coming against us. Right? There's more opposition today than there was a month ago, 2 months ago, a year ago. Come on. We've got to have more fight in us, more light in us. Than what's in the darkness that wants to encroach upon us. So anyhow, as I was praying in my office, this thought came to me. Okay? The Word of God came into the earth. Did it not? Aren't you glad? I am so glad. The Bible says that Jesus came into the earth. That He took on flesh. It was the Word of God. That the Word of God became flesh. Dwelt among us. And not only that, this word right here, this word. We have this word. It's in the earth. It's right here. We have the word. It's in the earth. Do you know why it's here? It's for you. It's for me. It's so that we can have life. this word, the Lord said, he says it's in the earth and there is nothing the devil can do about it. Glory to God. We need to know that. We need to have that cemented into our brains, into our spirit. The word of God has been poured out in the earth there, and there's not a thing the devil can do about it. He's wanting to fight it. He's wanting to dispute it. He's wanting to dilute it. But I'm telling you what, at the end of the game, there's nothing he is able to do about it. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, if you and I have the word of God in our hearts and in our lives, there's nothing the devil can do to you. Let him bring on the flood. Let him do whatever he wants to do. I'll tell you what, he cannot, and he's totally in fear when it comes to somebody standing on the word. Glory to God. This word, the word of God, is never going to be removed. Oh man, this just really grabbed my heart. God sent the word into the earth, and he said, I am sending it forth to accomplish something. Glory to God. Are we going to say yes and amen to the promises of God and say, yes, God, that's me, that's me. Thank you for sending your word to me. I have your word, and it is accomplishing in me. Amen. Because you know what? He is dedicated. He's committed to his word. And he's not going to remove it. Glory to God. Because you know what? The Bible says heaven and earth are going to pass.
And with that, we come to the end of this episode. We hope that you have found inspiration and encouragement in our discussion today, and we invite you to join us again next week. Let's make 2023 a year of growth and love by sharing the message of our church with others. We encourage you to take the Plus One Challenge this week and invite someone to join you at our next worship service. You can get more information about our church and say hi to us anytime from our website or social media, all online at gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.